Is that all now? Uh-huh. Well, now at the VA.
Before we go into that, let's take that till next time, okay?
Okay.
The VA thing.
Okay.
We'll spend the
more time
talking about after the Warriors.
Oh, okay.
And if we just talk about the Warriors now, then it'll
okay.
be
okay. Whatever else now, last thing I can think of.
How did you feel when you went to work the first day about your skills? Did you feel comfortable?
Yeah, I felt like I could do anything that they put me to. I'd try anything, because I was that way. Didn't make any difference. I'd try anything. I even flew airplanes for 6 hours.
While you were working there?
Yeah. No, it was after that. After that, I took I started the airline, to fly a little plane. But I hurt a knee to bargaining, so I had to give that up. But I got 6 hours in the air, and I was flying the plane myself, because the instructor... He said, gee, you can learn fast. I said, well, that's what I want to do. No, I try anything. And that's one thing that never bothered me. I can meet people and I will try anything. I wasn't afraid. Now, that's one of the best things on anything, not to be afraid. Because if you're afraid, don't ever try to go on an airplane and try to fly an airplane, because that's the worst thing you can do, or swimming or anything. And in my former years, I used to be an expert swimmer, the best of the kids around there, and an expert diver. And anything I tried to do, I tried to do as good as I could, you know. But that didn't bother me the first day. And then when I come home, I was so thrilled on everything. And it worked out good. And I never was late. I might have missed a few days, but I never was late. I wasn't ever late anywhere I ever worked. I always got there early.
What was the attitude of the people around you? You personally and women coming into the plant?
Well, the men and women both. They, some of them kind of resented me. I worked too fast. And they, one time they went stuck on my back. They said, genius. They put a paper on my back. I didn't realize that somebody come in. They said, what you got on your back, Bowman? I said, I don't have anything on my back or on my skin. They said, turn around. So they took the paper off. And it says, genius working. That's the way it was. Well, some of them objected to that. That was the main thing. And I heard after the war that they were supposed to hire so many people, put so many people to work. Well, they had to divide up the work, and some of them worked too much and some not worked so much. I never realized that. But I said, everywhere I worked seemed like they poured onto me, so I didn't think anything about it. I'd go ahead and put out as much as I could. But I never realized till after the war over that part. Now, at the VA, they kind of rope you, you know, on that. But at the plant, I was told a long time after, now another supervisor told me to cut down. But one time, they had an inspection there. And the first supervisor, he wanted everybody to be working like beavers, you know. So when the guys come by, I just stood there and looked at them. Oh, if that don't make the supervisor mad. And the supervisor and all the rest of them, oh, they acted like they was busy. Well, I can't act anyhow. So they was all acting like, some of them was busy, some of them was acting like they were busy. Well, anyway, after they went all around, I saw way over on the other side, they was watching us. Well, I was working at that time, and the rest of them were standing around. Well, that done me a lot of good, because it just showed that when the inspection come, you know, they want everything up the top notch, but you can't find out much by the inspection, you know. So that's the way things are. But they pull so many things, and it's not right. And it's one of the worst things that I always felt they pulled, when the boys came back, they were supposed to have their jobs back. The ones that had the job wouldn't give them up. So the head ones, I don't know how far up the line went, but anyway, the supervisor or some of them, they put these boys on the hardest jobs they could find for them, where the boys could not take it. I saw that with my own eyes, and I said I'd get up and wouldn't stand and prove or say tell that. That's not right. But they, I don't know, that's the way, they don't want the boys to come back when they go away. My husband told me that. He said, Mom, he said, they didn't want us to come home. Well, because people had their own jobs, you know, for any war. And it's going to be the same with these young kids, too. But at Douglas, that happened at Douglas. I saw that. Then I can tell you, too, about real estate, too. How they rope the poor kids when they come back on real estate. When that gets on, when we get to that. So now, is anything else known?
Did somebody describe to you what your job was all about before you started?
No, they just, told me that I was supposed to inspect it the way that they told you. Yeah, the instructor would instruct you, yes. They'd have to at first. And all they said was just to take one of the parts from the airplane and inspect it the way that the paper said. And yes, I guess you'd have to have instructions and know what to go ahead and do. But that wasn't too hard to instruct me because I'm easy to be told what to do. And I pay attention when they tell me. And that's another thing, too. I was dependable, and I pay attention and do what I'm supposed to do. Because I don't try to gyp anybody. Or don't try to gyp the government or anything. But I kind of resent, in a way, maybe I shouldn't feel that way, but I think it's wrong if some of them stand around, they don't do anything all day long, and yet they get the pay. I can't see that. They did that with the VA, too. Some of them, they'd work to death, and others, they just dilly-dally around, wouldn't do much, and come in any old time they wanted to come in. I don't understand those things. They're gypping the government is what they're doing, and it's not right. I said they ought to all be kicked out and put on somebody that'll do the work and not try to kill a person off the job. Now, is there anything else?
Do you think were all the inspectors as conscientious as you were? Do you think any parts got through that maybe weren't in?
Oh, yes.
Weren't as good as some of
the others? Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. Because they'd find things on the plane even afterwards. And I wonder sometimes, being on a plane, I wonder how some of the stuff is on those planes that goes down. It's still the same thing because there's some that gets by. And that is true because I thought of that when I go on a plane, that I wondered who put the stuff together.
Who are the people that you worked with? Who were the other inspectors?
I can't tell you their names.
Yeah, I don't mean their names, but I mean.
Well, I had.
Were there other women, or were they men?
No, they were all men. The first one was a man, and then one over him was one named Red. I can't think what the first one was, but the first one was the one that went on that trip to try to find Earhart. He was the one who told me about Earhart, and he was okay. Maybe he was the one that sent me to Johnson. Now, I'm not sure. He might, because he knew how Red was with me, and I had told. I can't think of his name. I don't know why. But anyway, Red probably had told him that he knew how Red was with me, and he knew that I wasn't getting my raises like I was supposed to, and he knew I worked and put out the work. And he didn't like the way Red treated me, but he couldn't do anything about it because he was under Red. Well, now, if I recall now, since you mentioned, it may be that he was the one that told me to try to go to this other building and talk to the other man. Anyway, it was a good thing whoever told me, but I believe he must have been the one. But he always seemed to like me, but Red didn't because, another thing was Red, he'd go out to the parking lot with women. Well, I said I couldn't prove what they'd done, but you might know they had no business out there. They should have been in the building working instead of fiddling around out in the parking lot. And I resented that because I'm kind of a big mouth thing anyway. I said, well, why are they out in the parking lot? What are they doing? That's what I'd say, as if I didn't know, I couldn't imagine what they were doing. And, of course, they resent that. They don't like that at all because I talk too much. Now, that was one of my biggest troubles. My sister told me one time, she said, Winnie, you talk too much. She said, keep your mouth shut. Now, Winnie got to be a major coming out of the nurses, she went overseas as a captain in the nurses corps. Then when she was let out, she was a major. She kept her mouth shut. She never told anything. Can't get much out of her to this day. But I'm the other one. I tell everything. I write back home and tell them all about everything. some of them don't like me. If I have anything to say, I said. I'm not around the bush, and I don't go around behind somebody's back and talking about them. I said, I tell you in the face if I have anything to say. I said, I'll face you.
Did you have much contact with other women at the plant?
Not much, only at the lunch hour. But I'd go down to the dining, I don't know what you call it, dining room or whatever you call it. I'd go down and buy my dinner. So I didn't take my dinner because I always want something good to eat and I'd go down. But One time one of my friends came out there, and he was walking down the aisle, and I saw him. I said, come over here when you get your dinner, sit at the table. So he knew me, but I never met very many people I knew before. But we didn't mingle much that way. And just as soon as the day was over, sign out, away we go. I'd head for home right away. But one thing, they used to take up a collection of whoever got the biggest number on the paychecks would get the whole bunch of, just like a gambling thing, you know. Well, I'd put in for that. I never won anything, but I'd always put in for that. But I never gambled at that time. I never knew much about gambling at that time, but I thought, well, the rest of them is putting some in. Then I had a friend that was a union lady, and she was a friend of mine. When I was home with, do you want me to tell about the time of the check deal?
Uh-huh.
Well, when my youngest daughter was home with the measles, I had to stay home. Now, that was one time I had to give up the work, because I had to take days off, in other words. And I think I was home 2 weeks with her, because she had to be in bed. I kept her in bed on account of her eyes and everything. And so when I was in bed that time, when I was home that time with her, why, they was taking up a bond drive. They had a bond drive. Well, Red was bound determined to have 100% bond drive out of his department to show big, you know, to the whoever showed big, the government or whoever showed big. And so he told a girl who was going around getting people to sign up for bonds to sign my name to take out a bond. Well, they didn't ask me about it. So then when I went back to work and got my first check, here they had taken a bond out of my check. So this girl that was belonged to the union, I told her about it. She said, you come with me. Well, we went to higher up yet besides besides Red and besides another, we went to another one. She said, we'll go up there and we're going to tell them what happened. Well, I told them when we got up there to the office what had happened. I said, I was home with my daughter, and I said, you can check the file, check the, whatever you had to check here, you know, to know that I was off at that time. And I said, you can check my handwriting. I said, I did not sign to have a bond taken out of my paycheck. And he said, well, we'll see about that. So I finally got the bond. They gave me the bond, but they let it go. He said, well, would you let it go this time? I said, yes, but I said, I don't want it ever to happen again. I said, when I don't sign anything, I don't want them to take money out of my paycheck. I said, I can hardly make ends meet. And when another thing, though, made Red sore at me, when I first went in, they decided on taking out bonds, and he asked me, I said, I want to take out the most of my money in bonds. He said, well, why do you want to do that? And I said, because I want to take it out in bonds. And I said, then I can save a little bit that way. Well, he said, we don't like you to take so much out. I said, well, that's what I want to do. And I left it that way. So then when it come time for the bond drive, I guess he decided, well, I took out so much at first, it wouldn't make any difference. Well, it made a difference because at the time that bond drive was, I was having to cash my checks in, my bonds in, as soon as I did them, to pay some bills. And I thought, well, why go ahead and take out bonds? So I quit taking bonds out because there's no use in turning right around and cashing in bonds as soon as I took it out. So that's why I quit taking out bonds. And I really needed the money that they took out for bonds anyway. So as soon as I got my bond, I went uptown and cashed it in and paid on my bills. Because when I had bills to pay, I paid them. I paid on my bills. That time I could pay $30 I'd have. And I paid so much bills, well, all these bills counts up when you count them all. Because anything I want to buy, I'd go buy. You know, I bought household stuff all along. And any time I want to buy anything, I'd go buy it. I didn't ask my husband whether I'd go buy it or not, because I seen it got paid, and I paid all out of my checks as well as the checks that he helped pay on. He paid the rent. We paid a mortgage at that time, and utilities and things like that, and help on things. So he paid his share, but I would pay for things that I bought, that I wanted. So that was why I quit taking out bonds, and I quit taking out any after that. I never took out any more from there. But anyway, I couldn't see why anybody would have any right to sign my name to take out bonds. Because that's against the law anyhow. And but Red had told this girl, he didn't do it, but he had the girl to do it. Well, he's just as guilty as the girl was. He almost lost his job over it. Well, then he comes back and he sure lays dates with me. He says, I want you out of this department. I said, you get me out of this department, I'll go as fast as you send me. Well, I didn't get out right away, though, so that's when this other supervisor, he said, Juanita, you better go to talk to this other person, whether he might have talked to me. I think his name was Johnson. I wrote to him after I got out, but I can't find the address or anything. And I don't remember their names. So that's what happened.
While you were working at Douglas, did you and your husband have one checking account that everybody's money went into?
Mm-mm. Or I only had my own. I had my own, but he didn't have any. He didn't have any. He just had me the money, and I'd just go pay whenever he had any money. I'd just pay out my checks whenever I wanted to. But we never had a checking account together. Never did. And, he just turned over his checks to me, and I'd go cash them in and pay on the bills, and the bills paid up, and the money was gone. They wanted to know if I had a budget. I said, why should I budget? I know how much I have left, and that's all. Why should I bother budgeting? I couldn't budget. We bought a refrigerator. We got the last refrigerator up here at Lakewood, the very last one, and I was so thrilled we got it because we needed a refrigerator so bad. And I had to pay that out by the month, too, because everything I bought after a certain length of time, we got some checks back home. That is, the auctioneer and the guy that helped him with the paper, with the money, you know. They sent us the money, and whenever they got everything straightened up back there. So I think, what did we do with that? I don't remember. I think we used that to help pay, because we was paying about $63, I think it was, for the house payments until it got down to about 32. We paid several months on 63. Well, we spent all the money anyway because we didn't have anything to put in the bank. When I did put some in the bank to write checks, well, one bank went under, and I had a dollar in that bank, and it cost me another dollar to get my papers straightened up over that bank. It went under, but why I had to pay out some more money to get, they had, was supposed to pay me about 137, about 450, that was supposed to be my share out of the bank. And I thought to myself, well, why did bother putting that down on paper? I still got 9 cents left on a check that I'm due out of some bank. I still got that for the kids to see it, and I never cashed it in. Maybe that bank is going under, too, to have the check now. But anyway, that's all I got. But I had to pay when the postman come, he said I had to sign the paper, and I said, well, let me see what it is. He wouldn't let me see what it is, but it was concerning the bank, so I knew it was something about the bank. So I signed my name, and then I had to pay him, I think, putting in another dollar. I said, I never saw anything like it. I said, here, I've lost over $2 out of this doggone bank that went blue. And I said, tell me why. Well, what I'd done when I heard the bank probably was defunct, or whatever you call it, why, I went and drew out everything but $1. You see, if I leave a dollar in, I could cash checks there. But I lost that $1 and had to pay another extra dollar. But I got all my money back except the $2. But I thought, oh, heck on that. So then later on, they asked us to turn this other paper in. It was a great big, well, bigger than that sheet that I had signed. So I turned it in. Maybe that's when I got my 9 cents back. I forget that I still got the 9 cents. Boy, boy. What a life I have had.
When you worked at Douglas, Juanita, did you work very much overtime?
Yes. I worked overtime whenever they asked me to. That was largely a lot of times on Sunday. That's when the teacher's church, she just got out of church for working on Sunday. Her husband worked on Sunday. She used the money, but she said, it's against God and against church and everything to work on Sunday. So I made up my mind, well, if I can make more money on Sunday, I'm going to work, because I needed the money, so I worked overtime whenever they let me work. Whenever they asked me, I'd work overtime, because that was better pay than the others. See, I don't remember how much more, but I can't remember whether I started out at 95 cents an hour here at Douglas or 95 cents an hour at the VA. I'm not sure which place. I didn't get too much on an hour, and the prices was high, too, but not like they were now. Well, if I'd got any amount at all, I'd have really had money in the bank. But I never could keep money in the bank because if I wanted anything, I'd go buy it and pay it off, you know. Then when we sold our little property back home, then we paid the mortgage off here. That was one thing that I was proud that we could do that. Because we had a 25-year lease to pay it off. It took 25 years for the mortgage. But Pop died within about 2 years before the 25 years was up. And I'd had that extra mortgage to pay it off, and we hadn't paid it off long years before. And my late brother-in-law and my late husband figured it up, and we saved over $9,000 by paying it off. So I've been so thankful. I could sell this place. Well, they're selling around here for about $80,000. But where would I go? I'd have to pay out a lot more money and pay the capital gain and everything, this and that and the other. They say, well, you don't have to pay capital gain since you're a senior. I said, oh, yes, you do. I said, they'll see that you pay it. I said, they'll get it sooner or later. And I said, I wouldn't be satisfied anywhere else. I said, I've got such a wonderful neighborhood here, and my home is paid for. And I said, I put a little improvement on the home. Now, I had it paid it when I got my reduction on my taxes. We got reduction on senior taxes. First time, I had it stuccoed. And then the folks painted it in white all around for me. Well, then later, I got money from the reduction. Then I had the roof. I got the roof, and my family put the roof on. I saved the laborer putting it on. So any time that I get any extra money, well, this time I got my reduction, but I didn't get so much, but I had some other bills to pay, and insurance on the house, and insurance on the car. So I cleared up everything with my reduction this time. But next week I'll be able to put a little money, I think, in the bank from my big check that I get. I get two checks. I get from civil service, and I get from Social Security. But I don't get too awfully much, but then I try to put a little bit in when I can. And if I go to races and win any amount at all that I can do, well, then I go put the extra in the bank on that. I don't very often get too much to put in, but every little bit counts up. And I'm going to save a little bit of time when I used to couldn't save a cent. But they say, somebody will say, well, why don't you budget? Why don't you write checks? I said, I don't write checks. Then I make mistakes because if I get money orders from the bank, then they can recheck anything if something's wrong. And I've had two of them. They were going to charge me again for a big deal. I forget what it was anymore. So when the bank checks with them, they find out it's paid. Well, then another time, I had sent a bouquet of flowers to my sister who was in the hospital, the one next to me, the one that's dead fat. And the florist sent the word to me, I never paid my bill. So I went up to where I got my money ordered. I saw I had to pay $1, but sent word to the bank, wherever they go to. I don't know where they go to. So it came back that it had been paid into that company. So I sat down and I wrote them the number on every day. I kept my receipt, but I wrote the number on, and I said, that bill has been paid. Then they sent another letter to me, but they found out that whoever was working for them that time hadn't marked it down. But I said, that's not my fault. They don't mark it down. But I said, I'm not going to pay a bill twice as long as I have my receipt to begin with. See, I had my money order receipt. And as long as I have that, that helps me in anything that comes up. A long time ago, I was done for my share of the taxes. You know, at that time, my husband and I took half and half. His bill, or his money order went through. We got it through the post office at that time, the money orders or whichever it was, the checks or whatever you said. So when I got done for my part that they hadn't got my money, and I jumped in the car and went up as soon as I got that, went up to the post office, I said, you put a tracer on this. They put a tracer on it, and up in L.A., somebody was cashing in checks. They caught them. They caught them cashing people's checks. But I was notified then I didn't have to pay over again. Oh, boy, I forget it was a good bit of money because he was making pretty good and I was making pretty good. Even half and half is a lot. But that's one thing that I don't write checks because, oh, it's too much trouble. Because I do make mistakes myself, and I don't deny it, but I try not to. But I just don't bother with checks. I go to the money, go and seem to get my... Now, they've been wanting me to have my checks sent to the bank. Well, you come out in the paper once in a while where sometimes the banks don't get the checks. Well, what are you going to do? And then you write a check and it bounce back, and boy, that'd burn me up if I get a bounce back. I don't write checks that'll bounce back because I don't intend to. But when you don't know how much money is in the bank, if they don't send it to the bank, well, what are you going to do?
Did you and your husband ever argue about money? Was that ever a problem?
No, that never was much of a problem. He never, as long as I worked and helped pay for what I bought, he never opened his mouth about it. Now, back home, he wouldn't give me the money like he did when he came out here, after he came out here. But after he came out here, I wanted anything, I bought it. And he never wanted to go with me when I bought anything. But he'd go with the daughter or go with my sister-in-law, but he'd never go with me. And so I just go ahead and buy what I wanted to, and I seen it got paid. So there was no trouble over that. No, that would be the least. I said, if it'd been like that back home, how much nicer it'd have been. But it wasn't. But after you get away from the ones that influence him, it's so much better. They can say what they want to. That's one thing I don't try to interfere with my family, because I had so much interference. And we never had any trouble. We hadn't been to the in-laws.
In your phone interview, Juanita, one of the things that you said was that the men pulled stunts.
In the what?
That the men at the plant pulled stunts. And I wanted to ask you about that and ask you if there was a lot of teasing from the men or a lot of advances, if they made advances towards you or towards other women.
No, I never had any trouble of any advances against me. Now, I don't know about the others. Because if there's been anything done, why, they would go out the parking lot and get it in the plant, I think, more or less, because I never saw anything out of line. They was all nice on that. They always treated me respectfully. Because I was respectful, I let them know if anybody said anything. They might talk or something like that. Oh, one of them asked me one time if I would look at some dirty stories or dirty pictures. I said, sure, I'll look at anything. Boy, I never so shocked in all my life at some of those things. Can't get over it, guys, Moses. But I looked at them, but it's a good thing I did, because I wouldn't realize how things are. Did you ever see some of them? Oh, boy. You can't fathom the low-downness that some people can do. That was, I just can't, oh, I don't know. They thought it was funny, you know, that it didn't bother me. Now, some people just go nuts about anything like that, but I didn't. And when I was working for real estate, you remember those two women that was cut up in trunks? You remember about those two? They were supposed to be, homos. I think they must have been homos. There was three of them, but two of them, one of them was jealous of the other two, and she killed them and cut them up and put them in trunks, sent them out here to L.A. And one of the guys that worked with me at the office, he had pictures of those bodies and everything like they were. And he said one day to me, he was, well, I guess he was an inspector at the time, but he was working in, you worked on at all. He was inspector at the time, and at the time of the murders, but there was blood leaking out of the boxes and things when they opened them up. Oh, God. They were just all cut up like nobody's business. He had pictures of those, the way those bodies was all cut up. So one day he said, Juanita, he said, would it bother you if you see some pictures of how some of these people are all cut up to be fine, you know? I said, no. I said, I've cut up chickens and helped with hogs and cut up things. I said, I don't think it bother me any. So he let me look at it. And he just about went nuts because it didn't bother me one bit. But it's horrible to see some of those things. And I don't know how the people stand it when they find these bodies that are practically decayed and everything else. I don't know. I have a brother that was a mortician. But I don't know how they stand it with that smell. I know, that I think that would get me worse than seeing, because seeing the bodies, that wouldn't bother me one bit. And seeing the pictures didn't bother me, but they thought it would, you know. And I thought to myself, well, what's the matter with these people that think things like that? But some women would probably faint or they'd go hysterical or something like that. But I took it calmly. I did it that guy that showed me those pictures up there I knew him well, though, the guy up there at the plant that showed me that book. I don't know how on earth you ever get those doggone books. But now it's all come out in the papers about everything like that, about this homos and about all that stuff, you know, about these guys being these young fellows being killed and other things coming out in the papers. Used to, you didn't hear too much about it or know much about it. But I never pay too much attention to stuff like that because I don't know, I don't feel like it's worthwhile paying much attention to things like that. And dirty stories, I don't care to hear dirty stories. But some people just think that's all they can do is to tell dirty stories. I couldn't repeat them anyway if I did hear dirty stories. I like joke stories or things like that. It's funny or things like that, but some of it's filthy, you know, filthy dirty. And, but that was one thing now. I never was bothered with any of the men around acting that way, out of line, which I was thankful. Now, was there anything else, Dawn?
Well, I was going to ask you if you ever heard stories of that happening, of, you know, maybe women getting promotions or raises or, you know,
well,
they were nice looking or young or...
Someone told, I don't know who it was, but some says, well, if you play up to a man, well, you'll get places. Now, they'd make remarks like that. And a lot of times they did, because now it's coming out now that the women can file suit against the head guy now. But at that time, you couldn't do anything about it. And that was another thing that was probably kept me down because they couldn't, well, I said I had a man and I didn't have to go out to get a man. I didn't have to go out to do wrong. And, of course, a lot of them don't like that because I come right out playing, you know, at the